back at it here on the Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS on a Saturday afternoon. This is Essentials of Estate Planning. Daryl Grandy alongside the one and only, the lovely, the talented, my dear, close, personal friend, Michelle Conti, ContiLawPGH.com. That is the website, the Conti Law Firm. Michelle Conti and her team. I'm looking at the various bios and pictures of all the staff. We talked about Blake Birchmeyer last week on this show. 724-784-0239. 724-784-0239. Two physical locations in the area, 7880 Steubenville Pike. That's North Fayette. That's the OG location. And the new location in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104. And good afternoon, Michelle. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. And I know this is something we're going to talk about today, but we'll leave that conversation in the legal realm for a second. But are we getting ready in the Conti household, not the Conti Law Firm, but the Conti household, the Conti world that exists outside the four walls of Conti Law? Are we getting ready for the holidays yet? They're coming, you know.
They're coming, and we host Thanksgiving every year, so oh. I'm starting to get ready.
Okay, all right. What does that entail size-wise? How many people are we talking here?
I'd say anywhere from 25 Ooh. To 35.
Oh, wow, all right. The family
Which is a lot.
The family is in effect for the Conti Law, the Conti household, not the Conti Law Firm, but the Conti Law Firm also in effect as well, gearing up for the holiday season. That's kind of the sort of thing we wanted to talk about on today's episode of Essentials of Estate Planning. Is the holidays coming up? And, we've talked a lot about the kitchen table and the ubiquitous kitchen table that exists in both offices and how that kitchen table is sort of a touch point. And there's one in most every house. If you have a kitchen, most likely you have a kitchen table. But there's one in every house, and that's sort of a touch point where very, very important conversations happen, very, very necessary conversations happen, where news gets broken, good news, bad news, tough news. All life events seem to pass through the kitchen table at some point in terms of how those are declared, discussed, prepared for, planned for, et cetera. And a lot of that is the touch point for what you do at Conti Law, and the holidays are kind of a pivotal time to maybe sort of get that group huddle going, are they not?
I think so, and I know some clients disagree, but, it can be a good thing, having the open conversation, airing any grievances, but more importantly, telling your loved ones what your plans are and what your wishes are if, you pass away.
Right.
I know that most people try to stay away from that kind of conversation.
And I sense your hesitation there when you said that. When you first answered that question, I sense a little bit of hesitation in your voice when you said that, because I think for that very exact reason, because that's also a rationalization excuse. It's the holidays. Why are we bothering with that stuff? It's the holidays.
Right.
Come on. Let's celebrate. Let's be festive. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. It's the holidays. Why are we talking about that downer of a topic? Is it essential and important as it may be?
It is, and I know that, obviously I do this for a living, and my parents are aware of that, and my family's much smaller. but we had that exact conversation several years ago, Thanksgiving, when
sure.
we were all together, and it takes somebody like me to sit down and say, so when you die, what do you want to happen? And I know a lot of people are uncomfortable and don't want to have that conversation. But it's much better to have it now when they're healthy and
right.
they're thinking straight than when they're on their deathbed.
Right.
I know that that's even more difficult. If you have somebody who's dying, that's a really tough time to say, well, we know you're going to die soon. What do you want us to do?
Right.
So if you have that taken care of ahead of time, whether you share that with your family or not, but if you have the documentation in place, whether it's your living will, your advance directive, your funeral declaration, for those people who haven't completed those forms, those documents, then, it makes sense to have the conversation, get it out of the way, and never talk about it again if
sure.
that's what you choose. But in our family, we deal in death, quite frankly.
Right.
And so I know that a couple weeks ago when we were with my family out in Omaha, Nebraska for my brother's ceremony,
wow.
something was said, and in a joking fashion about, sure, well, if we all die on the way home, what's going to happen? And that opened the door for us to say, okay, so if our plane goes down, this is what we want.
That is a valid question. You kind of stumbled into a valid question.
Yeah. I mean, it's most people feel very apprehensive,
sure,
to broach the subject, whether it's with their parents or their children, to say, hey, look, you know, it's inevitable. I'm going to die at some point.
Because it is death.
This is what I want.
It is death, and it can be a very hard or a very easy subject. I mean, if you're resigned to it, I mean, yes, as we talked about last week, you know, we all die. Nobody gets out of here alive, right, as Jim Morrison says. I mean, so it's an inevitable topic. And for some people, they have no problem at all dealing with it. When I had my conversation with my parents, that kitchen table conversation, they had no problem. They're very upfront about it. And they're years away from dying, you'd like to think. Or there could be days. I mean, that's sort of the nature of life and death, right? But, you know, at the time, they were years away from dying. And that's just the way that that's the way that breaks down. So do you recommend, if you, in fact, if people listening right now are listening because they're interested in the subject, they're interested in how to approach the subject and you know, looking to you for pointers, would you recommend if, let's say, you're planning on hosting Thanksgiving and you're planning on having people over, multiple generations over, would you recommend as part of the invitation, hey, we're going to be at the house, come over at 4 o'clock, we'll do dinner at 6, watch football, whatever. As you're discussing that, do you recommend in advance of people coming over saying, hey, you know, we should probably talk about this in advance as opposed to hitting them cold when they're there?
I think it depends on the audience, really.
Okay.
You have to know how they're going to react to that.
Sure.
You know, in my family, I can hit them cold with it. We were boarding the plane, and I'll be honest, I was sending my mother multiple messages saying, hey, look, if we die, this is who you call. This is where all my stuff is. And she knew that, but I wanted to remind her. And it was funny because we landed, we came back home, and my brother and sister-in-law were leaving to go to Portugal. And then that caused a ripple effect because my sister-in-law then sent a message to us saying, hey, look, here's where all our stuff is. Michelle, I'm going to send you XYZ so you have it in case of something dire occurring. And I know my nephew was on that message, my brother's son, and his response was, what the heck are you guys talking about this for?
Sure.
But it's important for somebody to know. So I think you need to know your audience. I have clients who refuse to have that conversation, and, you know, I can't make them have it.
Right.
But one of the offers we make is, well, when we're signing the documents, perhaps it makes sense to make it a family meeting, and I'll be the one to broach it because you're here anyway.
Sure, right.
And
right.
We're going to give them copies, so why don't they hear it from you when I'm asking you these tough questions and we're going through these scenarios? So we've had clients and their families come in where we have an open dialogue, and
sure,
the kids will say, oh, I never knew that. And they take it much better than maybe, you know, when they're putting a spoonful of mashed potatoes in their mouth. So it just depends on your kids and how receptive they will be.
Now, in terms of your role, Michelle Conti, Conti Law Firm, again, ContiLawPGH.com, what I'm hearing is that you and your team, and you know, it could be mostly you, have varying degrees of pivotality when it comes to that role, right? I mean, sometimes they could have the conversation around their kitchen table, then come to you and say, okay, here's what we talked about, and here's the plan. Or you, if the case may be, may have a pivotal role in that conversation yourself, right? You can be the one who kind of spearheads things. Maybe if it's a conversation that people know they need to have but don't necessarily know the questions to ask or the directions to go with the conversation, that's something they can reach out to you for and almost be a guide point and say, okay, well, here, you're going to have this conversation. Here are some things you should talk about as part of that conversation.
And I think that, you know, in our past, we've had kids who've called out and said, look, I know my parents need this, but they don't want to have that conversation.
Right.
So we're going to bring them in to meet with you, and we're coming. As long as the parents are fine with that, I'm okay with it. And then vice versa, I've had the parents who say, I know we need to have the conversation, but I don't know how to bring it up.
Sure.
And so we'll make that offer and recommendation. Well, let's just have a party. Everybody come in, and then I'll be the bad guy because I'm the one who needs to ask you these questions.
Yes.
And so it really depends on what their level of comfort is. you know, people, one of my friends here that we've talked about this, they say, oh my God, you really, you know, have just came out and said, this is how it is.
Right.
And yes, of course, if you know me, that's just how I am.
Right.
We're, as you said, we're all going to die at some point. I don't want to die anytime soon, but
right.
if I do, it's much better for that person who I've picked to have the documentation rather than have to try to be Sherlock Holmes and put right. on their investigator's hat and figure out, what do I have? Where is it at? You know, we see, and it's sad. I've had phone calls after a client has died from their kids to call me and say, hey, do you know, did my dad want cremated? Did he want laid out? What funeral home did he want to use? You know,
right.
the kid should know that, not the attorney. I mean, although typically we do know what they want. But that's the last resort if they haven't had that conversation with them. We've also had them call and say, we have no idea where their money is. We have no idea. Do they have this
right.
policy? Do they work with somebody? And so, you know, we do have our clients complete a questionnaire, so we at least have a starting point.
And that would not fall under a sort of privilege you would have, right? I mean, if a family comes to you with their situation, a parent come to you with a situation for their thing, that would not be something that you would be privileged to, and not anybody else in the family. If you know it, the rest of the family should know it, correct? Or should have
they
access
should
to it?
Know it. You know, and so we do have to be very careful because we have a client, attorney-client privilege.
Right.
And certain things are confidential, but if we're working with the executor, and we have that information, then I have to give it to them.
And that's the person. If there are three children, one's the executor is the one you are bound and compelled to be able to share that information with, and not necessarily the other two kids.
Correct.
Okay. So, but the executor is the one you are, in fact, designated to work with.
And if you know something, they have
the right to know
to
that
work
thing.
With us.
Right.
We have gotten called in the past if the executor hires another attorney and
okay.
they say, hey, look, we know my parents worked with attorney Michelle Conti, that attorney will reach out to us and I can give some information to them.
Yeah.
Certain things may
you tell them to shove off because I'm the only person here who can do it.
That.
Right. But you tell them to shove off because you're the only person that can do it. But
there are some really good attorneys in Pittsburgh. There are some really bad attorneys too. But most of us are pretty good.
But so basically, it comes down to, again, each client is their own. We say that each client has their own case. We say that every week here on the situation. So you mentioned something briefly in passing that is very important as well. You said that you're willing to be that mediator, or at least the bearer of bad news, the spoonful of medicine, as it were, for a family if everybody is on board with it. You
right.
implying that you won't do it if they're not. If parents want to have a conversation and kids aren't necessarily feeling it. That's something that
right.
you won't necessarily get involved because you don't want that smoke, or how are you?
Well, I can't force the kids to be a part of it. We've
okay.
had conversations that didn't go so well where somebody has stormed out of the office and said,
oh, really?
I'm not listening to this.
Ah.
We've had other people on the phone who've hung up and said, you're never going to die. I don't want to talk about this.
Right.
So if they're not open to it, then no, we can't force the information. We can't force the conversation to happen. But that's typically not the situation.
Right,
most
right.
often, if mom or dad requests them to be present or on the phone and to listen to what is said, then they follow, there's no issue. But I'd be lying if I said that there have been times where it didn't go as well as we planned.
Right, I could imagine that. I could absolutely imagine that. Sometimes best laid plans, as they say, often fall awry. So interesting stuff
right.
there. And so the holidays, of course, are a very, very important time for those conversations to be had. Even in the context of a celebration, it is a good time to get everybody on board. Do you recommend obviously calling you, of course, should there be any questions before you have that conversation, 724-784-0239. Do you recommend that if you're hosting the, you know, the gathering, whatever, and also doubling as hosting or instigating or starting or initiating the conversation around the kitchen table, as it were, do you recommend there being some high level talking points that you can probably jot down as or as a way of just presenting notes about this?
I do. I think it's important if you're just very. You don't have to go into too much detail.
Right.
I think that if you are open to telling whoever it is you're having the conversation with, look, I did put my estate plan together. If you have questions, here's the attorney.
Sure.
I think that's a good step one. And where those documents can be found. You know, if they're receptive, then I think it's important. And it sounds so basic, but even the stuff in your house, I know that my mom makes me laugh. They're hopefully nowhere near passing away, but she'll say, oh, I started going through, so you don't have to spend so much time when we're gone decluttering. But asking, you know, is there something you specifically want?
Sure, sure.
That you can have in front of everybody, have that conversation. Okay, Susie wants the tea set, you know, Johnny wants the grandfather clock. So everybody's on the same page. There's no surprises or fighting.
And even then, you can almost present that. I mean, yes, there'll be a degree of weight around the conversation about the actual legality of everything. But that's almost a conversation you can kind of sort of dress up and have fun with that one, that conversation a little bit towards the
right
end. So, to sort of ease away, provide a glide path into what could eventually be a more serious conversation about, okay, you know, we had some ha-has about it, but now let's actually talk, get down to business and talk about the actual business of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So it depends on the audience where,
right.
You know, if you want to be very frank with them, you know, I'd rather you do that and say, look, here's my documents, here's where they're at.
Right.
Yeah, I gave each of you a copy, so everybody's on the same page, no one has any questions, and if you do, ask me them before I die, because once I'm gone, I can't answer them.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the best case scenario. That's the conversation you would have. You don't have to go into dollar figures. You don't have
No.
to go into anything specific like that. But just a general overview, I think, is very helpful. And if you have things, you know, hidden in your floorboards or buried under a rose bush out back
Right.
or in your walls, maybe you should tell somebody. That's always helpful. I have found that, or I've heard stories about families searching the house and
Right.
saying, I know, you know, grandma put money in a tin can and we can't find it.
I can't help
something hidden like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's you start with telling somebody where it is.
I can't help but think of the Arrested Development scene. I don't know if you ever watched the show with the there's money in the banana stand line, and
right.
and that was a whole plot point one time. There actually was literal money lining the walls of the family banana stand, which they use as a outpost for some of their misdeeds. But that's pretty funny stuff.
It is. Now, I never had anybody do that, but you know, you hear the stories, and over time, you have to think that at some point that's true. You know, especially back
Right.
in the old days,
oh, yeah.
with, would it be our grandparents or great grandparents, where they did have money hidden in floorboards or in the walls.
Absolutely, that was an actual viable tactic back then.
Right.
You know, you didn't want to necessarily. You know, maybe there was a mistrust of banks. Maybe there was a mistrust of something. Or banks wouldn't have been as regulated as they are now, and there would have been a mistrust of banks or misdoing. You actually had the. You know, we joke about now, but you actually had, I'm sure, the coffee can underneath the mattress or something to that effect, where
or the mattress stuffed with cash.
Right. Exactly. That
was
probably
there has to be a reason that everybody knows that. So.
Right.
And I, you know, if that is the case, then somebody should be aware. And if you don't feel comfortable telling whoever you're leaving it to for fear that they're going to steal it, probably
Right.
not a good thing, by
No.
the way. But, you know, maybe the attorney should know. Now, no
Right.
one has ever divulged that information, not
Really?
Just breaking privilege. But I've never had anybody tell me that today.
You're never given coordinates.
Somebody should know.
That'd be wild. I'm sure that'd probably be another great story for the holiday parties of your doing, your being out and about.
But
again, those stories, those ideas, those notions are not created in a vacuum, especially in 2025. So that's probably one of those things that hasn't crossed your path yet, but we kind of need if it did. That'd be a great story for the show.
That would be. So if anybody has money hidden in their mattress, I'm the person to tell so we can talk about it.
There it is. So any other discussion points about how you should approach Enlisterland?
Well, and this may sound silly, but, you know, there's a reason the pet industry is a multi-billion dollar company. What do you want to happen to your dog or your cat?
Yes, yes.
Or your pet goldfish when you die? You know, we have helped facilitate numerous pets being rehomed or transported to loved ones when somebody dies because we're aware of it. But it's always the question when somebody passes or goes into a nursing home even and they say, what the heck are we supposed to do with this dog? Maybe somebody's allergic or they don't like dogs or cats. Right. You know, they don't have to end up in a shelter. There's ways to make sure that their care continues once you're gone or unable to care for them.
Sure.
And so on our questionnaire, and it always makes me chuckle when people say, you even put a spot in here about our dog or our cat. You know, we've had horses and tortoises. We've had so many pets come through here.
What's the most exotic one?
In the estate planning realm to plan for them.
What's the most exotic one?
Snake. It was a fancy snake. Oh, okay. I didn't meet it. I don't know anything about it. We also had one of those, oh, I'm going to say it wrong, the real big birds, not a cockatiel.
One of those ones
that was in that movie Rio.
Okay.
Blue macaw. I don't know.
I believe
macaw,
you.
Maybe?
Sure.
But I think they live forever and a day as well. We had somebody who had it was 50 years old, one of those ginormous tortoises, maybe a snapping tortoise. It was huge. And they fenced in an acre in their backyard for it to roam. But it was big. We've had a pot-bellied pig, but the most common, dogs, cats, horses, birds.
Okay, Rio, I'm Googling it, follows Blue, a domesticated male macaw who's taken back to Rio de Janeiro to meet with Jewel. So, yeah, there you go, macaws.
But we've had people bring their pets in here. Usually that's a dog or a bird. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they treat them, they love them like family.
Sure.
And so we want to make sure that whether we entrust their care with somebody after you go, or I've had people who set aside funds for that pet to be taken care of. I've had other people who have donated to a local pet rescue a significant amount of money so that the pet is taken care of and not put down.
Right.
So there are things that can be done if we plan ahead.
Now, we have a couple of minutes left to go here. We're talking about how to get ready for the holidays. Expanding the scope a little bit, and this is really weird for me to say, we're only about a month and a half away, maybe 6 or 7 weeks away from 2026. Are there things that people should be considering right now in terms of estate planning with regard to things to note on the years coming up? What should we do about our considerations of 2025 basis? Is there something that people should be doing now or be thinking of as 2025 comes to a close that might be a good idea to take care of, might be a good box to check before the ball drops?
We hear often, and I just heard this the other day, that somebody's 2025 New Year's resolution was to get their estate plan in place.
Ooh.
And we're in November, and they're just doing it now.
Okay.
So if that's on your list, I would stop procrastinating and check it off, check the box, and get it started. So making sure that you follow through and not procrastinating. Procrastination is the biggest enemy of proper estate planning we face.
Sure.
So getting that taken care of and really buckling down and knowing what you have and knowing what you want to happen to your stuff should you pass in 2026 be your last year here on Earth. Besides the basics, you know, our federal exclusions going up, which is nice, which means we can gift more. We can accumulate more wealth without worrying about the federal estate tax complications. So, you know, if the ultimate goal is to put something in place so that we can reduce the tax obligation once you pass, we can certainly sit down and discuss that. But I think there's a lot of different avenues and vehicles that can be used based on, you know, it sounds so simple, but based on what is your foundation? What is the goal you want to achieve? And then we dig deeper from there. You know, I have a client who his son is a client as well, but a big time financial advisor. And he said to me, look, you know, his mom recently passed and he said, you know, my dad's fairly old and we need to, you know, the dad is wondering what he can do should he inherit the wife's stuff and increase his estate, or should he just disclaim that now and give it to the kids? And a lot of that is based on, well, what tax bracket are you at versus what tax bracket are those kids at, or even grandkids? So there's ways to spread the wealth so that we minimize ultimate tax consequences in the long run.
Lot of great stuff on the table from the one and only Michelle Conte, Conte Law Firm. ContelawPGH.com is the website, 724-7840-239. Again, 724-7840-239. Two locations, brick and mortar style, 7880 Steubenville Pike. That is in North Fayette. That's the original location. And the new location, Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104. Also available on these socials as well, Facebook and LinkedIn, among others. And very, very good stuff. And you want to keep us going next week, Michelle?
I do.
Let's do it.
I do. We'll continue preparing for the holidays. I can't wait.
Indeed, 100%. And that will do it for today's episode of Essentials of Estate Planning. We'll be right back here in 7 days with more fantastic information as we get closer to Thanksgiving, closer to the holidays, and closer to 2026. We'll see you right back here in 7 days. Take care.